Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to the Voice of Indie podcast. I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and with me is Mr. Stephen Gies. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing all right, sitting here with my arm out of its brace, trying to be gingerly and careful, but looking forward to having some great guests on tonight's show.
Yeah, this is episode number 130, so cool. We're moving closer to 150, then after that, the big 200.
Yeah, there you go. So we've been doing a flurry of publishing lately. Just in the last day or two, we've put up all of the editions of Gwen M. Plano's new thriller novel, Redemption. That's just a very cool book. As you know, Gwen's the one who with John Howell penned The Contract and then followed that up with The Choice and The Culmination. She also has the memoir, Letting Go Into Perfect Love, which we republished at one point. So Gwen M. Plano's new Redemption. Tonight, you're going to hear the world premiere of the TV, of the audio commercial for that book. And we're going to urge you to go over to YouTube and check out the video.
Yeah, and we also just published The Calling Dream. That's coming out soon. We uploaded that. That's by Carlisle Toms. And that's a Southern Gothic historical little bit of, coming of age kind of stuff in there as well. Now, Gwen Plano and Carlisle Toms are upcoming guests too. So, keep your eyes out for the announcements in the newsletter for that one.
Yeah, and now by the end of the week, we should be publishing a new edition of a book that was first published in 2012. It's called Outshine, an Ovarian Cancer Memoir by Karen Ingalls. She has had that book in print for more than a decade now, and she's ready to expand it into hardcover and other editions. She's got some events coming up. We're excited about putting a new edition of Outshine, an ovarian cancer memoir out.
Yeah, I read that book some years ago and I wrote a review on it, as a matter of fact, 5-star review. Excellent book. Gave a copy to my mother as well, and she read it, and it's a poignant cancer survivor memoir.
And she donates all her proceeds to cancer research, too. Same thing with these events. These are fundraiser events to help support research.
Yeah, How to Paint an American is coming out soon as well. McGregor, what's his first name?
Andrew.
Andrew McGregor. This guy's a world traveler, does a lot of cool stuff, and he wrote a really cool novel, How to Paint an American. It's a story about a guy that comes over from Eastern Europe, and he's trying to figure out what it means to be an American, and he runs into some crazy characters. Some bad guys, some good guys, and ultimately he gets the picture of what it means to be an American, and it's an excellent book, so keep an eye out for that one.
And we're pretty sure, too, that this is the only Fresh Ink Group author we have who plays the bagpipes, and I mean performs them publicly as well.
Publicly,
this guy on tonight's show, Herndon, he's a drummer. Everybody's a drummer, right? Who can play the bagpipes? And that's Andrew McGregor.
All right. Hey, as Stephen just mentioned, tonight we have Mark Herndon, former drummer of the country supergroup Alabama. They'll be joining us. He and his wife, Leah Seawright, will be joining us in a minute. And if you want to call in, if you got a question or a comment or just want to say hi to Mark and Leah, here's how you can do that.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
All right.
Okay.
We got more new books, too. What do you got, Beam?
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out here. Verwayne Greenhow, he's over there on Twitter. And he says, my completed Vela, I Hate My Mother, is in pre-order until it goes live on Amazon on February 6th. And other outlets soon after. And he said, it took me 45 years to learn to forgive the abuse I endured as a child. The price of inner peace is forgiveness. And he also says, we are looking forward to the Voice of Indie podcast with Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon and country singer Leah C. Wright. So thanks a lot for that, Verwaine.
Yeah. We're making a video for Verwaine's book as well. We hope to have that up on YouTube in the next couple of days or so. So watch that in next week's newsletter, which you need to subscribe to if you're not already subscribed. So we got another new book out. Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret is an illustrated children's book by B.A. Johnson. All of the editions are out there right now. Kindle, Nook, Kobo, you name it, in the ebook formats, soft cover. The hardcover is a laminated, glossy hardcover. So it's a perfect children's book. And this is the sequel to her first book, Sassy Discovers the AME Church, which has been selling like gangbusters in the year that it's been out. So watch for that. Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret. You're going to hear the commercial for it tonight, and over on YouTube, we've got a new video for it.
I like gangbusters. I like the grape flavored gangbusters.
Yeah.
Also out is Operation Whiteout, a Mac McDowell mission by Robert G. Willicroft. That is available now. So get over to Amazon or wherever you like to buy your books and grab a copy. And there's a whole series of them out there. So check them all out. And if you want to know about these books that are in release or coming up, you know, within the next couple of weeks or whatever, you want to know what's going on in the world of Fresh Ink Group, what's going on with the Voice of Indie podcast, we've got a newsletter. And here's how you can sign up to be a subscriber.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter, new releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
All right, so I went over and checked yesterday to see what our top five print bestsellers are so far this week. And then when I checked again a little about an hour ago, the numbers had flipped in the one and two spot. Yesterday, number one, we had Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Banger. That's by Larry Jorgensen. That's the story of the 240 Chryslers. They were shipping across Lake Superior more than 100 years ago, and the ship foundered in an ice storm. They wound up having to rescue the crew and leave the cars, so they went back later to get the cars. It's a cool story, and it's selling like I don't know, pick a cliche, hot mustard
hot
or gang takes or something.
Gang takes.
And then the other one that knocked it out of first place today is Submariner. 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat by retired Lieutenant Commander Jerry Pate, talking about his hijinks as chief of the boat of a nuclear submarine. I mean, you know, it's the same story everybody's got, but Jerry tells it with flair. Number three slot, Operation Whiteout, a Mac McDowell mission by Robert G. Willicroft. This is the fourth book in the Mac McDowell mission series. You'll hear the commercial for that tonight. We've got a new video for that that's over on YouTube as well. Boy, you people just, who needs Netflix when we're putting these videos out like this? Number four slot, How to Start and Run Your Own Food Truck Business in Tennessee. Tennessee is the third book. She started with Florida. She did Georgia. She did Tennessee. She's working on Alabama now. These books are selling like, I don't know, tacos out of a food truck, I guess. But How to Start a Food Truck Business. The books are doing great. She's got a website, too, called yourfoodtruckhowto.com that we put together for her. Get over there and visit that. And if you see some cool food trucks, take some pictures. Send them to us or send them to her or upload them on the website so we can show people what's happened. And in the number fifth slot, this is by somebody nobody has ever heard of, one of the most obscure authors we have, some guy named Mark Herndon. And it's called The High Road. The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip, and it's the memoir of the days growing up, becoming a drummer, playing with Alabama, had his personal life, all kinds of cool stories, the fallout that happened, and basically the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, and all the good stuff. So that's by Mark Herndon. That's our number fifth bestseller this week.
All right. And we do have an audiobook update. I am currently hard at work on the Operation Whiteout, A Mac McDowell Mission by Robert G. Willicroft, the audiobook for that. And I'm more than halfway through it. I'm waiting on a replacement line or two. And then I can move forward from there, and hopefully that'll be done within a short period of time. So keep an eye out for that. And if you miss a show, an episode, or if you're new to the show, or there's just a favorite one that you want to listen to again, we have an archive, and here's how you can find all of those old episodes.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indie archive on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
All right.
All right. So before we read the bios and meet this week's guest, let's go ahead and knock out a commercial, Beam. You want to do Sassy Uncovers, and then it will bring in these country people.
All righty.
Hi, I'm Mary Margaret Fanson. My grandmother, Big Mama, calls me Sassy. I've been a member of the African Methodist Episcopal Church all my life. I never knew why everyone was so proud to be AME. Then I met Gerald in Children's Church. He thinks he knows everything about being AME. I have to learn a lot more just to show him. B.A. Johnson has been writing a series of books about me, my brother, and my friends, with lots of colorful drawings. We also explore bullying, friendship, inclusion, death, grief, forgiveness, and more. Sassy Discovers the AME Church is about me learning about our church and something terrible that happened in Charleston. The second book, Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret, is about discovering the story of our church's founder's family and one hero in particular. These and more Sassy books are published by Fresh Ink Group in laminated hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats available worldwide. Come on, join me and discover why I can say I'm proud to be AME.
Yeah, if you go over and check the video out for that on YouTube, make sure you like it and share it. And if you're not a subscriber, please hit that subscribe button while you're there.
Yeah.
So, our guests tonight are Mark Herndon and Leah C. Wright. Mark Joel Herndon was born in Springfield, Massachusetts in 1955. His father was a Marine pilot, so he and his parents traveled all over the country most of Mark's life. Finally, they settled in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where he started playing with circuit bands. Mark has one daughter with his first wife. Now he's married to country rocker and gospel singer-songwriter Leah C. Wright. In his spare time, Mark enjoys spending time with family and friends. Also, as a licensed pilot, Mark enjoys aviation as well as motorcycles and traveling. Mark's favorite artists are Bob Seger, Journey, Jean-Luc Ponty, who's one of my all-time favorites as well, Tchaikovsky, Rush, and Hank Williams Jr. Boy, that's an interesting mix. I'd like to see all of them get together and play. Mark plays a steady up-tempo beat on the drums. He joined the Alabama Band in 1979. Mark's fondest memories are playing the same arenas in South Carolina that only a few years before where I attended concerts as a member of the audience, and my flight with the Blue Angels. Yeah, there's a picture of Mark in the cockpit in the book, too, so that's pretty cool. In addition to playing drums with Leah's band, Mark also works as a private jet pilot. Mark and Leah now live in and perform around DeKalb County, Alabama.
Yeah, and Alabama-based country rocker Leah C. Wright has been on a steady rise during her tenure as a recording artist and remains a strong force for women in country music. This national touring artist has shared the stage with numerous stars, including Luke Bryan, Darius Rucker, and Charlie Daniels, as she performs and expands her fan base across the country. The native of Fort Payne, home of the supergroup Alabama, C. Wright has been immersed in music from family traditions and gospel musical influences. Leah wrote and recorded two gospel albums prior to her debut country album, Country Girl 101. This album had two radio charting singles, Country Girl 101, a club line dance hit, and On the Back Roads, with a video that featured legendary NASCAR driver Richard Petty, the King, as well as current driver A.J. Allmendinger. While working on the album, C. Wright met Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon, who came out of retirement to become her current drummer. And with that,
all
welcome
right.
Mark and Leah. Welcome to the show again.
Hey.
Yeah.
We are glad to have you back.
Thanks, Beam. Great to be back. You and Steven behaving yourself tonight.
We're trying.
Yeah. As long as nobody's watching. So you're live down there on the sunny beach area of Gulf Shores, Alabama right now, huh? Got some good weather?
It's clear, but it's a little cold. We're down here on some business, and so we don't have much time for beaching it.
Not warm enough.
No, it is.
Well, what's cold down there at this time of year?
Oh, cold down here is probably
50.
Yeah, 50. High 40s, 50. You know, summertime in Michigan.
But it's the wind. Yeah. It's the wind with humidity. Yeah.
I'll put southern cold up against Michigan dry cold anytime with 30 degrees and 95% humidity. Woo, that's cold.
Yeah.
So the two of you are back from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. There had to be something going on there. What took you to Myrtle Beach? Back to Myrtle
Beach.
Well,
they wanted us to come play a little bit at the House of Blues over there. And excuse me. I got choked up over myself.
Yeah, they're eating Cheez-Its with cheese tonight.
Yeah.
That's our dinner, yeah.
The South Carolina Entertainment and Music Hall of Fame invited me to become inducted this past weekend in a big ceremony in Myrtle Beach featuring a lot of other artists. Local and some national, and we all got together and played several songs apiece there at the House of Blues. Sell out crowd, standing room only. It was just a big fun gala atmosphere evening, and it was conducted sort of like an award show, like the Grammys, and it got to be my turn to get up there and I don't do microphones and public speaking very well at all. I've been behind the drums. I know it sounds weird. I've played for millions of people with Alabama, but I've always had drums to kind of hide behind, kind of a barrier there, you know. Wow, Blue Angels just went by. Yeah, it's just kind of weird standing up there with a microphone in your hand and all these people looking at you like, what's he going to say next? It's kind of, oh, man, you know. So I was probably brief and said, thank you very much. And I'm now inducted into the Music Hall of Fame, South Carolina. It's actually, I'll quit being facetious here. It is a great honor because started in South Carolina. Everything I ever dreamed of being started as I was coming of age living over there. Everything with the band, everything I've ever done in my life really started over there. And to come back there and receive such a gracious award from so many equally gracious people was quite an honor, quite special, and I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, we're proud of you, too.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
The newsletter we put out today has a picture of somebody handing you something in a frame. Is that the Lifetime Achievement Award?
Yeah, that was Justin Williams. He's the executive director of the Hall of Fame, which is based in Greenville, South Carolina. But they have quite a presence there in Myrtle Beach. Myrtle Beach is kind of the show business town of South Carolina, so... Justin came down, and I'm getting to know some of the folks there at the Hall of Fame. Very classy organization. I'd like to give a shout-out to Christy Sweetie Andrelonis. I hope I said that right. Andrelonis, yeah. She coordinated the whole thing with the House of Blues for us, and
Carolina Country Music Awards, that's what it was.
Yeah, she's president of the Carolina Country Music Association, so it's hand in glove with the Hall of Fame, and she did an excellent job coordinating 29 bands,
artists, or single artists.
Mm. They started the show at 5, and we left there about 10:30 that night, and they were still going strong. So I know how exhaustive those things can be, and but people were rocking and having a good time, and you know, we had a blast. It took Leah and I and the rest of the band probably 3 or 4 days to wind down from that. It was just it's so much fun to play over there, so much excitement, and it's a little bit prestigious, you know, to play the House of Blues. And you know, the sound over there is superb. I listened to some of the playback from us play, and it was like, is that really us? So yeah, we were rocking. So we were all pleased.
So did you run into any old friends there while you were back somewhere like home, I guess you would call that, while you were back there? Did you run into old friends or old bandmates from before you left South Carolina?
I ran into a friend of mine that I played in a band with 100 years ago in South Carolina before the Alabama days. I ran into him. Ran into a DJ friend of mine down there. I've kept up with these people over the years, and the guy that owns and runs the Bowery where Alabama got started, Victor Shema, is a good friend of mine. We've been friends for 45, 50 years. So shout out to Wendell and Deacon and Victor. And a lot of friends showed up from the old days and everything, but not people I stay in touch with all the time, but like, wow, oh yeah, I haven't seen you in 40 years, but you know, that was all fun. So
oh, yeah,
all right. Steven, you want to take a question?
Myrtle Beach has changed so much. When I lived down there, when Alabama was just getting started, Myrtle Beach was kind of a quaint little small town that literally just, they rolled up the carpets at night, and in wintertime, all the tourists went home, and it was a handful of locals lived down there, you know, 500-600 people maybe. Now it's a year-round city of, you know, probably over a million people. It's really something.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, Stephen, we have a couple of callers here. You want to take a call, or you want to go with another question?
One more question before the callers. Who did you take with you? I mean, let's give a shout out to this great band that that lady named Leah out there, and Steve-O, and who else did you go with?
They, of course, Leah, my lovely and sometimes nice to me wife. She's the artist. She's our quote artist, and she is an artist. I'll give her a good shout out on that one. She's a genuine artist, and she is backed up by a killer lineup.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Mark Estes, lead and rhythm guitar. Chris Patterson, bass. Chris's son, Robin Patterson, on lead and rhythm guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Steve-O. On keyboard.
Steven Johnson.
We call him, everybody calls him Steve-O. He's got his own gig called the Steve-O Show.
Mm-hmm.
And then that little old drummer guy that, you know, is hogging the microphone right now. me, yours truly, on drums. So Leah and a 5-piece band, and we can hold our own.
What'd you play?
We did a gospel cover that Leah puts her style on this song, and this song goes over whether we're playing at a let's, for lack of a better word, a church-sponsored event, or an outdoor festival, a rock show, or the House of Blues. It mm-hmm. goes over because she does it so somewhere between Bonnie Raitt and Stevie Ray Vaughan style of this song. It's an old Motown era or before gospel song by, what was the name of the artist that did it?
There was a lot of people that covered it, but
the original.
Charles Johnson and the Revivers,
and it's called My God Is Real. But now we're going to record this song,
mm-hmm.
and we have taken it and modernized it and Leah-ized it, and then we're putting the band's punchy blues rock type sound to it, and it's a stellar version. I know I'm sounding like I'm bragging, but I'm real proud of this, and I gauge by the response that we get from it, no matter what venue, it's a showstopper, and people just jump all over Leah if she ever walks out in the crowd after the show. Who are you? Where did you come from? Where did you get that song? It's just.
And I say, I'm just a sometimes nice wife.
That's right.
And we did the Charlie Daniels song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we have a version of, we kind of do this as a tribute to Charlie Daniels. He was such a good friend of mine. And then Leah loves the lyrics to Long-Haired Country Boy. And we've changed
the
Long-Haired Country Boy. Yeah. Leah's changed the lyrics around a little bit to suit the female
long-haired country girl,
female singer, and then we mix a little bit of Led Zeppelin in there with it too,
a
musical segue. And now that does not sound possible, knowing the Long-Haired Country Boy song, but we managed to squeeze it in there. It flows pretty cool. There's a snippet of, well, no, they cut it off before you started singing, so
mm-hmm.
I was going to send them to the Facebook thing.
It's on YouTube somewhere. There's some recordings of it.
Yeah, it's out there. But mm-hmm. anyway, I'd love to record it the way we do it live, but we can't get licensing from Robert Plant or Jimmy Page, so mm-hmm. we don't. I've had enough lawsuits to last me a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine.
If you need me to call Robert or Jimmy, let me know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Next time you're over there by the pool, just bring it up in conversation.
There you go.
Yeah. We'll do that. All right, so, Beam, we got a couple of callers.
Yeah, let's take the first caller. There's two of them, so the first caller is going to be area code 212. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You're on the air. Hello, caller. Area code 212.
Long distance directory assistance, area code 212. Remember that song?
That's probably
Hello,
Helen.
Caller.
Don't All call right. us.
We call you. All right, so we're going to go to the second caller. This is area code 727. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Kent. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Kent.
Hi, Kent.
Steven, how are you?
Hello, Kent.
Pretty good.
Mark, Leah, how are you?
Good. Good. Excellent.
Mark,
how are you doing, Kent?
I'm doing fantastic. Mark, I wanted to personally thank you for the autographed drumsticks and the autographed picture that I received.
You're welcome, sir. Glad to
do it. Yeah, that was down there in, what, Gardenia? Or where did you play in the park last summer?
I spoke to you last time when you were on the show. I don't know if you remember.
I do. I do. We had a rather lengthy conversation.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. And I saw you were going to be. So I had to make sure that I called in to say hello to you and congratulate you on the Myrtle Beach, South Carolina Hall of Fame inductee.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ken. I'm still kind of pinching myself because I'm in there with some some high company. I'm not sure if they really know who they inducted yet, but I'll take it until they realize what they did.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you're in some big company, my friend, so don't worry about it, you know.
All right. Well, it's all good. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to tell you was I used to work for House of Blues many years ago. I used to work at the Chicago and Orlando locations. And what my job was is I was the backstage chef for the bands. I used to cater for the green rooms. And I used to cater including a lot of famous people, James Brown, Aretha Franklin, Willie Nelson, just numerous people. And I'm sure you got treated very well there, did you not?
Oh, absolutely. We had done one thing there once before at the House Blues Myrtle Beach. So we kind of knew the lay of the land going in there, but everybody was great. We had great catering. Green room was always nice before as well as the last time. Yeah, I got no complaints. Nice venue.
Yes, and the sound is also very good there as well, too, as you stated.
The sound
before.
Is freaking awesome. That's what we were. Man, that's why we were so high coming home from that. It was like, oh, God, I didn't know we were that. I didn't know we sounded that good. So, yeah, everybody kept saying, man, you guys are fat, you know. So they did a great job.
Yeah, I used to sneak around after the shows, and of course they had, you know, equipment set up or whatever and their own drums up there. So, you know, after everybody was gone or whatever, and, you know, I'd go up there on stage and find some drumsticks, and I'd go up there and beat on the drums, and I'd have the whole hall to myself. It'd be empty, and until the second time I did it, I got in big trouble. So,
yeah. Yeah, they've got a house back line there. We used the same equipment we did before. They had a new monitor world guy, but he did fine. And then I didn't have time to do this, and I didn't have one with me, but I wish I would have left them a drum head. You know, they got all the drum heads from all the acts that have been there, and they cover all the walls of the backstage area of the proscenium there, and there were some notable people up there, man. And I was like, ooh, I wish I could have hung one there. So,
yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll be back. And if you get a chance, you know, that'd be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
I've never been to that location, unfortunately, but I heard it's a really nice venue. So I hope to get up there one day. And I wanted to ask you, do you and Leah plan on coming to Florida anytime or the Tampa area? Are you guys going to be touring anytime?
No plans on touring just yet. We're shopping for a studio. We've got some material that needs to get recorded, so we're in the process of studio shopping. We've looked a couple locations in Alabama, one in South Carolina, one in Florida, actually Northern Florida. So we're, like I said, this project is sort of in its infancy, but we do have a couple of good prospects.
But we would love to play in that area.
Oh, yeah. We'd love to play down there, by all means.
We got married about 15 minutes from Tampa in a little town called Indian Rock Beach. So
yeah, my favorite
beach. We love that
area.
Uh-huh.
Oh, great.
What's that, Ken?
Yeah, I'm about 10 minutes from there. So.
Oh, wow.
That's
where we got married. So that's a special, special place for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me know if you guys do end up getting down this way, or let Steven know, and he can let me know. And I'd love to meet up with you guys and say hello and get together if we could. That would be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
I will. Yep,
thanks for calling in, Ken.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
All right, guys. Thank you. You guys have a great night.
Yep.
Thank you, Ken.
You do the same, Ken. You take care down there.
Mm-hmm. All right,
buddy. Keep
Dean, you want to roll Gwen's commercial?
Yeah. Gwen's commercial?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Yeah, here we go. All right.
Family secrets can be deadly. When Lisa visits her parents one fateful Saturday morning, she hugs her father and takes her suitcase to her childhood bedroom. The doorbell rings, and 1 minute later, her father lies dead on the floor, 3 bullets to the chest. The death of Eric Holmes sends shockwaves throughout the quiet neighborhood. But for the Holmes family, it's devastating. In this fast-paced psychological thriller, Lisa and her brother embark on a quest to solve the mystery of their father's murder. The journey takes them into a secret world where nothing is as it seems. Once the puzzle pieces begin to coalesce, they realize that their father had multiple lives. As the facts unravel, the siblings discover the true meaning of redemption. Gwen M. Plano's Redemption is available worldwide in softcover, jacketed hardcover, and all ebook formats. Published proudly by Fresh Ink Group. Redemption by Gwen M. Plano.
All right. Go check out the video. Yeah. It's over on YouTube. Like it.
New video.
Subscribe if you're not subscribed. Leave a comment. I like it.
Cool.
Now, Mark and Leah, you're talking about looking for a studio to record. Is this going to be a full-length album?
I hope so.
Well, the way we have
plenty of songs. We just we're going to probably record, you know, 2 or 3 songs and see how it turns out and comes out after, you know, post-production and everything. And then if we like what we hear, we've got tons of songs. We're ready for a new album.
You kind of got to have a blind date with a recording studio to find out if you like it before you want to come back, because we've had some experiences in the past where we committed to an entire project and then things didn't go well. And then, as you can imagine, that's a snowball rolling downhill.
Well, you have to find a producer that is on board with what sound you want, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get producers that are totally open to the artist, you know, ideas, and then you have some producers that are not, you know. So it's finding that sweet spot with a studio. That was the Blue Angels again.
Yeah,
I think that's that's Steven's. It's I don't know what if it's your microphone. It's that same squall when we're on Skype. It just sometimes it kicks in there and it just, you know, it does. It sounds like
a jet engine. Yeah, it sounds like an F-18 going by in full burner at about 50 feet off the deck.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's longer when we're on Skype sometimes until he plugs the mic in, and then it quiets out. I don't know why it's doing that on here, you know. And it's a shorter little burst, but it's I don't know.
Oh, it's all right. No worries.
We time it right before we, you know, make it go by right before we go to commercial or something. Here we go. And we're back.
Oh, man.
All right, so now these songs that you say you got a whole bunch of these songs, are you writing your own material and mixing it with some cover songs, or is it other people writing for you? How do you come up with your material?
Well, I'm definitely open to other people's songs, but I do write, you know, 99% of the songs that I write are songs that I've written. I love to co-write, love that, and I've been doing that a little bit lately with a little younger girl. I've been helping her with her gospel album, and then I've been co-writing with a couple of Nashville cats and here recently. But yeah, I've got a ton of songs that I've written over the last couple 3 years, really since even we were actually getting ready to go into the studio when COVID hit in 2020. And
wow.
Then everything kind of shut down for a year.
Yeah.
And then your new norm is just, you know, I don't know. It wasn't music. So, you know, after 2021, I finally started getting back into the writing and all that. And we could get out and perform again. And people were booking bands again. So we had about a year and a half break from the music and
the doldrums.
Yeah. So, But, yeah, so I've got tons of songs, you know. As a songwriter, you're always tweaking stuff. So I've probably got hundreds of songs, and then I may want to record maybe 10 of them. You know, that's how that goes. But yeah, we've got songs. We're just ready to get in the studio and you know, find the right producer and the right studio that'll, you know, I've done maybe 3 or 4 albums in the past, and I've kind of, a lot of the producers want to put me in a box or want me to sound this way or that way. And now I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, I want to sound the way that I want to sound. You know, I want to be true to myself. And so that's the most important thing right now for me is finding somebody.
You want to sound like what you hear.
Well, yeah, it's finding somebody that'll jump on board with, this is who I am. This is my age. This is where I am in my life, this stage of my life. And you know, that's really where I am. I don't really know that I am a particular genre. I don't know. It's hard to describe me. But besides being a mediocre wife, just kidding. No, because I love everything. I mean, I have so many influences. I have old country influences. I have, you know, southern rock, blues, even rap. I mean, there's just so many aspects to that, what makes up the sound that I hear in my head that I want to come across on
record. That's why she's crazy. She hears voices.
Well, that's the thing about a producer, you know, getting the right producer, because you want to put down on tape what you hear in your head and not what the producer imagines. So you want to get that guy that's on your page and you're not on his page, or get on the same page together.
And, you know, thankfully, you know, it's a blessing in today's world, because everything is so driven by internet and social media and YouTube and Spotify and all these platforms, to where you don't have to fit in any kind of box. You just have to find your niche and your audience that likes
find
what you
audience.
Do, you know? And thank God I finally realized that. And I'm not trying to be something that, you know, this producer wants me to be or that one. And we just want to do what we do, because live it goes over great. I have a great band. They make it so easy for me to sing and perform. They are awesome. And, you know, the audience can tell when it's genuine and when it's coming from a place, a real place, you know, and that's what I want. And that's what we're shooting for. Hopefully that'll, you know, come to be sooner than later.
Yeah, finding the right producer is like finding the right book editor. A lot of them get in there and they see things and they want to change it to their own style. And the others are the ones that find the magic and find ways to bring that magic out, enhance that, and bring in that flavor and you know, show us what the artist is doing with some sparkle and pizzazz. So, yeah. Right.
You wouldn't know any editors like that, would you, Stephen?
Well, you're talking to two of them right now.
I'm just kidding.
They know a guy.
Yeah,
they know
a guy.
Yeah, I used to be a music producer too, way back in the day. But you know, that was on when you had big 2-inch reels of tape and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know how they do things now. But we are really looking forward to you all having some new music. And you know, when you get a song in the can, let us know. We'll play it on the show and get some feedback, and you know, tease it out there with a little bit of a world premiere.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So,
Beam, I think we've got a book called The High Road or something like that. We've got a commercial for it. Maybe it's a good time to play that and see if we can sell some books, because nobody else is buying this thing.
All right.
What drives a man to spend 26 years performing night after night? To persevere through a stifling tour bus, bad food, strange women, flared tempers, a plane nearly blown from the sky. Just how did that troubled military brat with a dream claw his way from dirt floor dive bar shows to the world's biggest stages? Aviator, author, and Country Music Hall of Fame drummer Mark Herndon lived that dream playing with Alabama, one of the most popular and celebrated bands of all time. He learned some hard lessons about people and life, the music industry, the accolades and awards, how easy it is to lose it all, and how hard it is to survive, to embrace sobriety, to live even one more day. Herndon's poignant memoir offers a tale at once cautionary and inspirational, delightful and heartbreaking, funny yet deeply personal. From innocence to rebellion to acceptance, can a man still flourish when the spotlight dims? Are true forgiveness, redemption, and serenity even possible when the powerful say everything you achieved somehow doesn't even count? That you're not who you and everyone who matters thought you were? Find all this and more in Mark's remarkable memoir, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group in paperback and ebooks, and now in the keepsake dust-jacketed hardcover edition demanded by true fans. Mark Herndon refuses to slow down, so look back, look ahead, and join him on the trip. He's taking the high road.
Yeah. There's a cool video for that in the Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube, and any of you out there who are interested in having an autographed copy of that book, go to markherndon.com and look for a chance to order your own copy there. They make great gifts as well. In fact, if you buy them by the dozen, you can get 12 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you do quick math.
So, Mark, I'm one of the persons who answers questions on Quora every once in a great while, and somebody sent me a question that said, do you know any famous musicians who are also equally expert in a completely unrelated career? So I wrote a little thing about Mark Herndon, who's also a professional pilot, commercial pilot. And at the end of that post, I not only did I put up the book cover because I'm a shameless promoter, but I put up a picture of Mark Herndon in the cockpit of a jet. And that's one of the pictures in the book. What is that picture of, Mark?
If it's the one I'm thinking of, I think it was.
You've got the helmet?
Let's see. Unless that could have been the Blue Angels flight.
Yeah, I think it was the Blue Angels.
Yeah, that's in the cockpit. That was in an A4. That's been quite some time ago, but that was a very memorable flight. Yep.
How'd that come about?
I had the honor of commissioning the USS Alabama, SSBN 731, I believe. It's a big boomer nuclear submarine, USS Alabama, and when it was being commissioned, they thought it would be a nice touch to have a member of the group Alabama commission the boat. So they flew me up to Groton, Connecticut, and we took part in those ceremonies, and it was a great time. The public affairs officer was friends with the public affairs people at Electric Boat there in Groton. One of the guys was friends with the public affairs officer, Blue Angels. And now this is 1984, 85, 83. Memory's not serving me well right now because I don't have any of this material in front of me. I'm going by memory, but they talked, and then our public affairs office in Fort Payne talked to the people at Blue Angels Pensacola, and they cooked up a little sick time for me in the number 7 jet, and I went down and spent about 2 days prior getting trained up on the ejection seat and how to cut myself out of a parachute if I wound up in the trees, and some high altitude hypoxia recognition and that sort of thing. And the day of the flight, it was it was almost over before I realized I was getting to realize a dream, because it was just I wrote a little article for it in the band's newspaper that used to circulate out to all the fans, and it was quite a red letter day for yours truly. I was a young fellow back then, and of course I was already a licensed pilot at that time, and so that really that blew my head up. I mean, I thought that I after then I thought I was Chuck Yeager for a while, and
Jack Yeager.
And, you know, like with everything else, aviation has a way of brutally humbling you if it doesn't kill you, if you have a big ego for very long. So I didn't get killed, obviously, but there was probably something that happened soon after that humbled me pretty quickly, and I came back to Earth. But it was a great, great time, one of the most outstanding days in my memory. And those people that made that happen have all moved on to other things and other lives, but a lot of thanks and kudos to them and the U.S. Navy Blue Angels flight demonstration team for having me.
Still talking about it after all these years. Man, what a great honor. There cannot be very many people who have ever had a chance to do that. That's great. Yeah.
I was so fortunate to do that in so many ways. I didn't touch much on it in the book, but Alabama used to do a lot of military bases and a lot of we did some things for USO and we toured a lot of military bases in the Southwest and you know, base commanders have a way of swapping stick time out for tickets and backstage passes for their family members for aspiring wannabe jet pilots. So that's about as far as I can go with that, but you can fill in the blanks. I did get to fly some really fabulous airplanes in those days. We had a lot of fun doing that. Kind of off the record, you know, and I have some pretty fond memories getting to play with some pretty expensive toys.
Yeah. And in the book, there is a picture of the submarine and the certificate that the captain gave you in appreciation for your strong support. So that's one of the cool keepsakes that's in this book. I just love looking at the pictures.
Yep. I sent them something in return. I sent them a platinum album from Alabama. And I changed the RIA plaque to, you know, it always says presented to, for this example, presented to the officers and men of USS Alabama, SSBN 731, place and date and that sort of thing. Well, I changed it around. It says to presented the officers and men, blah, blah, blah. Instead of saying to commemorate the sales of 1 million copies of the long playing album, blah, 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 I changed it around to commemorate our gratitude for your service to our country and for those in peril on the sea. And we appreciate everything that you're doing. Something like that. I don't remember the exact wording, but I didn't, who cares whether it sold a million copies? I wanted this album to remind the crew that we all in Alabama felt very strongly about those in uniform.
Wow. Another one of my favorite pictures in the book is, I see, boy, you guys are looking pretty young here. There's a Mark Herndon on the floor. I see Randy Owen, Jeff Cook, Teddy Gentry, another guy I don't know, sitting on couches around a big fella named Charlie Daniels. That's one of the great fellas. You've got so many Charlie Daniels stories, like one lesson he taught you about respecting your fans. Do you want to share a story about Charlie?
Sure. I think there's a couple of Charlie stories in the book there, but one that I remember because Charlie was kind of like a father figure to me growing up in the business, and he had the presence of your father when you're a little kid. You know, he was a tall guy and that huge hat, and he would tower over everybody. And I remember one night after a show in Lake City, Florida. Maybe it was Lakeland, I'm not sure. I think it was Lake City. The venue there has a sally port where you can sort of pull the buses under the awnings and the roll top door, big tall door. And I was going out that door toward the bus, and there was a group of people standing around with cameras and their pads and pens. This is in the days before cell phones. And they asked me to stop and take a picture with them and sign something for them. And I don't know. I was in my 20s. I was probably, you know, the most important thing to me at the moment was to get to the bus and get a cold beer, but I didn't have time for them. And I was a little rude and kind of brushed them off, and, you know, I was wanting to get to the bus. Well, I didn't think anything of it, but a few nights later, Charlie was sitting on his bus, and I happened to walk by the front of his bus. I forget what venue or what town we were in by this point. And he motioned to me to come toward the bus, and I came toward the front. He motioned like, yeah, come on in. So I came on in. He says, sit down a minute, son. I sat down and I thought, there's something in the tone of his voice that is I'm about to get a talking to. And he didn't say a whole lot, but he said, let me tell you something. I saw you brush those people off the other night, and, you know, it's just, you can do what you want. It's it never costs you anything to be nice to anybody. And the rewards last a lifetime. You can choose to reap those rewards, or you can choose to ignore them. That's your choice. But if I were you, I'd start being nice to people, because we all get older, and you'll see it someday. And the way
he say something about you see the same people on your way down as you.
The that's sort of a well used saying, but he did refer to that, and his words have come true so many times. I can't tell you how many times I think about him. Every time somebody writes me, every time somebody buys the book, every time I run into somebody just off the cuff that remembers me, but I might not remember them, or I hear from somebody on Facebook, for example, or social media, you know, and they're 99% of all of those responses and contacts are all favorable. And that's because Charlie set me straight back in the early days when Alabama was in its beginning days. And I'm grateful. I'll always be grateful to him, because I sure am glad to talk to people that said, man, you know, you were so cool to come out and give my son drumsticks, or thank you for coming out and signing autographs and staying so late and all that. I'd rather hear that than, you know, you jerk. You remember what you said to me? it makes for it makes me sleep a little better at night.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of, I'm a metalhead. I've been a metalhead since the late 70s. And one of my all-time favorite singers is Ronnie James Dio. And all kinds of people have that same story about Ronnie James Dio, how when they were young and up and coming and opening, you know, for either, you know, Rainbow or Black Sabbath or Dio on the road, he would often have that talk with them about, you know, being nice to the fans. And they said this guy was, Ronnie James Dio was the type of guy, if it didn't matter if there were two fans waiting by the bus or 200, he was going to sign autographs and talk to these people, because he would have the philosophy that these people that you're meeting, you may not remember them, but they're going to remember you, especially if you're the only famous person they have, and you don't want them walking away with the idea of, boy, that's a jerk. So he, you know, he always made time for them.
Yeah, I've been on both sides of that. I've met in my capacity as a member of the group Alabama, I brushed elbows with a lot of people in show business, and I'll never forget how it makes you feel when you finally meet somebody you've looked up to all your life or admired, and they are less than pleasant. Well, I tell you, you don't forget that, and it changes your whole perception about them, their product, everything. And it's you know, after all, these people are customers. And how long are you going to keep a store open if you're rude to your customers, you know?
Yeah. Now, Stephen just posted a picture on Twitter, and it's from your book. And you're there with Billy Idol and Ron Wood from the Rolling Stones. And I'm not sure who the woman is, but what's the story with that? What were you doing hanging with Ronnie Wood and Billy Idol?
Or were they hanging with you?
Or were they?
No. It was sort of a, that was an impromptu. That was a impromptu encounter. We were in New York. The whole band was in New York doing some press. And the girl in the picture was a promotions girl on the record label that we were on. She was on staff, and she was handling radio and TV and stuff like that for RCA in New York and in that market. And we had been doing TV. I think we did. This is back in the days with, what was that guy's name? I can date myself if I can remember his name. Tom
Snyder?
Not Brokaw.
Tom Snyder?
Yes. Yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah. We taped that show in the morning and did actually New York actually had a country station, a major country station back in those days. And we had done that, and by the time we walked out of the door at the radio station, it was getting to be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And she said, "Hey, there's a party at Elaine's with a bunch of music business people hanging out. You want to go?" And I said, "Sure." So Elaine's was a famous industry hangout up on the, I think it was on the Upper West Side.
And Billy Joel, above, in his song "Big Shot," he name drops that place.
Yes. So it's a pretty well-known hang, and you can go in there and see all kinds of people a lot of times. And then there was a lot of people in town doing the same thing we were in the day. So I walked in, and Billy Idol recognized me. That's what I was – if I look like the deer in the headlights, it's probably why, because he was hotter than a match back then with White Wedding and – I was like, how does this guy know me? But anyway, he threw his arm around my neck and said, "Come on over here, Mike. I just throw the froth off a cup with me." You know, he's an English guy. So we started throwing back some beers, and next thing I know, everybody's having a real large time, and I don't really remember leaving.
Next thing you knew, you didn't know.
I didn't know.
To this day, they're still telling the story about that time they hung with Mark Herndon.
I don't know. They probably don't remember much either.
So on Twitter, I'm getting ready to put up a picture of a bronze statue of Mark Herndon up here in the park in Fort Payne, Alabama, DeKalb County. How did that happen? What's going on up there in that park, and can people still see this today?
Well, I wasn't present when the powers that be decided that we were going to have a statue of the band in the park at Fort Payne. Nothing wrong with it, but it was kind of surprising. And one of the city council members came out to my house, and it had already been decided, but I guess he was being courteous and said, "Would you like to have your statue, made and put up in the park?" And I said, "Sounds like I don't have much of a choice." And he said, "You don't." So, that's kind of how that came to be. The city wanted something to, its claim to fame was Alabama, and Alabama, the nucleus of Alabama is from Fort Payne, and rightfully so. So that was the same time that they asked me if I wanted a street named after me, and I said, "No, thanks. I've been run over enough." it was great. It was an honor, and it's still there to this day. The dedication day was interesting.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
What's that?
How was it interesting?
Well, let's see. If I can keep from getting sued again, I'll tell you.
And the lawsuit is talked about in the book.
It is, and there are the what's a matter of public record. You can Google all this, and so I'm not speaking out of turn. But there was a tremendous misunderstanding that which developed into a lawsuit, and the lawsuit was filed a few days before the unveiling of the statue in Fort Payne. And
timing.
Lawsuits when lawsuits are filed, they become accessible to the public as far as the record of it is concerned. And apparently a local reporter got a hold of it and broke the story. I don't know the details.
It's a small town.
He wouldn't have had to put it in the paper. You know, word travels fast. But anyway, there we are getting an unveiling of a statue dedicated to the band, and we're in the middle of a lawsuit, you know, here we are unveiling the statues, and the newspaper stand right next to where the podium is a newspaper saying, you know, Alabama sues longtime drummer or something.
Yeah.
As I have to get up there and make a speech about, you know, thanking everybody for this, that, and the other in the city council, and
I thought you felt awkward.
So
I thank the pigeons for being friendly. You know, I've been down there courting them to take care of my statue.
Well, behind the statues, you have big, beautiful plaques telling the story of each person and of Alabama. I picture them going in there with chisel and knocking those out and putting up, you know, sheets of the interrogatories, the demand letter, and all the different lawsuit artifacts.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah. And just for the record, I'm still working in the back of my mind on what would be a good medley for Leah and Mark and the band to do. And so far, I'm at, let me see here. What was the name of the Charlie Daniels song? That was Long-Haired
Country
Girl. Yeah, so we got Long-Haired Country Girl 101 Dalmatians. So far, that's how far I am.
Long-haired country girl, 101 Dalmatian.
Yeah.
101 Dalmatian. Okay. I'm a little slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Now, these statues in Fort Payne, I'm telling you, every time I have occasion to go to Fort Payne, and I do from time to time, there's always people out there taking pictures with those statues, and they're almost always taking pictures next to Mark's statue. So
I've got pictures of me next to it.
Yep, I'm convinced that's the most popular of the four statues out there is the guy holding the drumsticks wearing the aviator glasses. But those of you who visit Fort Payne, go check it out. And down the road from it is the Alabama Museum, which, you know, does include the history of Mark being part of the group. And we've heard that they've just recently refurbished that. You guys know anything about that?
I don't know anything about that. I do know that it was hysterical for a longest time after the unveiling that if you would go by there at night, my light was out.
Huh.
Each statue has a footlight at, you know, illuminating it. And people would call me and say, well, it turned your light out again. And I said, well, I wonder why. I mean, I pay my taxes, my phone bill, light bill, but it went on for years. They'd fix it. It would be on for a night or two, and then it would be out. We've had a little problem with the – believe me, I don't monitor this at all, but I've heard that they've had a little bit of problem with some graffiti once in a while, and somebody took the statue sticks away from my statue, but – you know, if they're not doing that, then that means they don't care. So any attention is good attention, I guess. So,
yeah, definitely. Well,
I wanted to throw this out here before we wrap up here over on Twitter. Per Wayne Greenhoe, he says, I'm Tom Snyder, and welcome to Tomorrow. And he says, I used to watch that program all the time. So did I.
Yeah.
A great interviewer. His interviewing style was just fantastic.
Tom, it was in the morning, and Boy, I tell you, I think that's back in the wild days, and I think we were in New York, and I was going to party it up because I was going to take advantage of the nightlife in New York, and I think I did the night before, and we had to be on set like at 6 o'clock in the morning. If you'll look at there's a picture somewhere of all of us sitting on set with Tom, and I'm the one with my head down on my chest. I think I'd bent the elbow way too many times the night before, but I was probably 25 years old.
Mm. Okay, well, we've been talking to Mark Herndon and Leah C. Wright. The name of Leah's upcoming album, we have no idea. We don't think she knows either, but we're looking forward to hearing about it. And the name of Mark's book is The High Road, Memories of a Long Trip. It's chock full of pictures, tells the stories, tells the history, tells the good, tells the bad. It's unvarnished. And Mark's not slinging mud and trying to burn bridges with anybody. It's telling the honest, unvarnished truth, the good, the bad, the highs, the lows, and what it's like to live the dream. And then also see some things turn what we were calling earlier awkward, you know, a little bit toward the end. But it's a great book. We published it in 2016. Here we are 2023, and it's still in our top five bestsellers. There's always demand for that. So we already mentioned markherndon.com. Get over there, and, you know, you can get a copy of this book anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Kobo. You can get ebooks, hardcovers, softcovers, or you can go to markherndon.com. Where else can we find you two out there? Are you on Facebook, any other social media?
We do Facebook, and I have an Instagram account and a Twitter, but I'm not.
You
I'm
don't
a little bit.
Do.
I don't use it. I'm kind of tech challenged, and Facebook is about all I can keep up with.
Well, I have a website, leahcwright.com.
Yeah, right.
Leah C. Wright.com, Leah C. Wright.
And then on Facebook, Leah C. Wright Music. So
yep. Yep. And we sell product from both those places. And there's a lot of, if people are unsure about purchasing a book, then go over to Amazon and check out the reviews. I'm proud of some of those reviews that are on there. I'm proud to hear that I'm number five at Fresh Ink Group. I haven't been number five at anything since back in the heyday of Alabama's chart records going up with a bullet. So that's pretty cool right there. And in addition to everything good that you said about the book, Stephen, I'd like to give Leah a little credit too on this. She has, besides your stellar effort on editing that last night before we sent it to print, Leah did a lot of editing with me, and
yep, yeah.
I was under the influence of some angst and some bitterness during those days, and I had some people in Nashville that were kind of pushing me towards slinging a little bit more mud, telling a little bit more things that I probably shouldn't say out loud, and I had some stuff written, and Leah just kept shaking her head like, no, man, it is the high road. But the one thing that she said was, you know, all those people that have loved you guys, regardless of how you feel about everybody, they've loved you guys as a group.
Yeah.
And if you say something to tarnish that image of that group,
it's heartbreaking.
She said it would be heartbreaking to those people who have grown up with that as their hero. She said, you don't want that kind of karma on you. And she was wise beyond her years, really, saying stuff like that. And I heeded the advice, and I'm glad I did now, because I've gotten a lot of comments. Not that the book is goody two shoes, squeaky clean. It's not, and most people are smart enough to read between the lines, and I'll leave it at that.
Boy, after a long career with so many highlights and so many great accomplishments and all that, and now number five at Fresh Ink Group is clearly the pinnacle of a great career.
Yeah, number five with a bullet.
There you go.
Well,
Well, Mark, Leah, we've been thrilled to have you on. It's been a great interview. We always enjoy talking to you, learning more, and we encourage everybody to get over to those websites, order your books, order some music of Leah's, and check them out on Facebook. So next week, we've got Kristen Howard, an author we've been looking forward to talking to. She's from Middle Tennessee. And who we got after that, Beam?
After that, we have C.J. Peterson, and we're looking forward to that one as well. I don't know much about C.J., but looking forward to finding out.
Old friend of Fresh Ink Group, Gwen M. Plano, is going to be on the week after that. She's the one with the new thriller, Redemption. We always enjoy talking to Gwen. And next?
And Carlisle Toms. He closes out February on the 22nd, and we're looking forward to having him back on as well. He's been here before, so it'll be a fun time.
Yeah. So thanks again, Mark and Leah.
Mark and Leah.
Thank you.
You are welcome, Beam and Stephen.
Yes. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Take care. We'll see everybody next week.
Bye, everybody.
Talk to you soon, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.